Do design decisions involve value judgments? Andy Halliwell has gone and posted this question on LinkedIn as part of our redesigning D&T project and debates. I think this is a really tricky one to answer, and our expert group felt that it was an important question that needed debating. Do design decisions involve value judgments? I think firstly, I'd be saying, what do you mean by a value judgment, a values judgment? And maybe in your response to Andy's question, you'll explore what you understand and what your views are of what value judgments are, and then whether they actually impinge on or affect the design decisions that designers make and also that children make in D&T lessons. So do join the debate. We're always open to conversation and discussion on this. But for now, on to the next episode. Hello and welcome to the Talking D&T podcast with me, Alison Hardy, a podcast for those interested in design and technology education, where I'll be sharing news, views, ideas and opinions about D&T. Welcome to the second series of the Talking D&T podcast. And this is a minisode where I'm going to give you an overview about what's coming up in this series and also just going to catch up a little bit about what's been happening with the Learning to Teach Design and Technology book. So in series one, you met some of the authors who are writing for the fourth edition, and I hope you found those interesting. I really enjoyed doing them, hearing what they were thinking about and what they were hoping to bring into the book. And since then, those chapters have been sent through to me. They're in a more developed form. Some of them have been in draft, some of them are fully written. But sort of from the end of May through into the middle of June, I've been having those chapters come through to me. And I've been taking the time to read through them, digest, make some notes and give some feedback and send them back to the authors. And they've got time to now work on them. Between now and when they send them back to me at the end of September. The idea is when they come to me in the end of September, they're in a fully formed state and they're finished and proofread and all checked out. And so then my job is to kind of make the whole book pull together. So this phase that I've just been in at the moment about giving feedback to the authors is just to kind of do a check on, are we going in the right direction? So a couple of authors have been very explicit about that and just sent me part of a chapter and said, I just want to check out, is this in the right direction? Some have sent me a very detailed draft outline for a new chapter. Again, just to kind of do a little bit of checking things out. And other people who are updating a chapter that they wrote for the first, second and or third edition, who've had to update when new policies have come out, some different directions. They've just been sort of adding little bits in and just again making sure things are current and up to date. And in terms of keeping it current and up to date and relevant, I've been able to get and make contact with three of my colleagues, Kieran McGowan in Northern Ireland, David Morrison Love in Glasgow up in Scotland, and Jason Davis down at Cardiff Met. I've reached out to them and they are giving me the reality check that we're including the correct information about those three nations as well. So that's been really great to kind of get people who are on the ground who understand design and technology in their different areas to have some input as well. So that kind of keeps the book relevant and current. You know, the book's had some different shifting around from the third edition. In the fourth edition, I've got four clear sections, which is like the third edition, but I've moved some chapters around. So it's just starting to check out, is that going to work? Do the chapters all flow together? So, for example, the chapter in the third edition, which was new, which was chapter 17, I think it was, with David Barlex, Torben Stieg and Nick Given. That was a really timely chapter about how do we teach about new and emerging technologies, which in England had come in the national curriculum from 2014. And so it was rightly placed in that section because it was something that was new and challenging. Well, now that topic is more accepted as part of the D&T curriculum, I've moved that chapter into the second section, which is all about subject knowledge. It's been kind of, I feel like, really purposeful to bring that back into that section now because it's mainstream. And then the final chapter is a new chapter. I think I mentioned this last time, which is written by Professor Stephanie Atkinson, who's at the University of Sunderland. And she is writing the chapter about using and creating research in design and technology. And I've linked her up with a couple of ex-students of mine who've done some research in D&T. So hopefully they're going to be case studies. So if you buy the fourth edition, you'll see these case studies. So there's one from Emma Hallam. And then hopefully the case study will be somebody called Polly Alden, who I know has had an article in the Design and Technology Practice. I think it was last year, about some of her research work. So she'll be in there as well, hopefully. But all of these things are fluid. So I'm saying they're going to be in, but when we start to put the whole book together, some things fit into different places. So that's an update about the book. And as I think you can hear, I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying making contact with different people who are writing the chapters and different people who are kind of making sure we've got a right steer. So then that leads me on to, I'm going to give a little bit of a plug here to a new book that's coming out that I've got a chapter in, but has been edited by one of the authors who's writing a chapter in the fourth edition of my book. So Suzanne Lawson has co-edited a new book, and it's all about mentoring design and technology student teachers. So if you're a new teacher, if you're a teacher who is mentoring student teachers in design and technology, I think you'll find this book really interesting. And there is some crossover between the two books, but that book is out really shortly. So I will put a link to that in the show notes so you can look out for that book and hopefully get hold of a copy. So it's lovely to have that crossover of people who have written in Suzanne and Sue's book, and they're also doing chapters in the book that I'm doing, the Learning to Teach book. Yeah, there's loads of brilliant books out there about design and technology, which leads nicely on to talking about this fourth series. Because the fourth series started with me starting to think about a book that I just read, and I had an opportunity to interview the author, Paul Carney. So this book that I'd read was about drawing for an invention and creativity. I reviewed Paul's book for the Design and Technology International Journal. That I'll put a link to that again in the show notes. So I've interviewed Paul. So Paul is actually the fourth interview in the series. We have a really great chat about the nature of design and technology education. And we reminisce, because we've kind of been around for a while, about when we started teaching and the differences. And Paul talks in this interview about his experiences and the way he progressed through, and how these things are, our careers are never a straight line. I really enjoyed that chat with Paul, and hopefully we'll have another conversation that I'll record for a future podcast. So let's go back to the first interview that's in this series. So the first interview is with somebody at the very start of her career as a design and technology teacher. Jennifer has just completed the subject knowledge enhancement course at Nottingham Trent. So she spent 6 weeks with us, really intensively learning subject knowledge, covering all of the materials and all about different ways of designing and communicating. So Jennifer has just done that course. So I caught up with her at the start of the course, and it was just delightful to talk to her and hear her enthusiasm and excitement about starting and why she'd started, and you know, her passion about design and what she'd done in her degree and how she'd come to this decision about becoming a design and technology teacher. So she returns to us in September to do the PGCE. So that's the first interview. The second interview is with Rosie, who is at the end of her PGCE. So I caught up with her in the last few weeks. She came into university for what we call an in-uni day. So they have some Mondays when they come into the university. And I caught up with Rosie. And again, it was just lovely to hear her talking and reflecting on the year and where she was at that point, and her excitement about starting her new job in September. And she's actually got a job at the school where she's done her final placement. So I hope you enjoy that one, because I think those two together work brilliantly, because you're hearing somebody, these two people at the very start of their careers in design and technology. Then the third interview is with Nikki Blom. And Nikki is a teacher educator for design and technology, but in South Africa. He's at the University of Pretoria, and I caught up with him just as he was about to head off to the PAT conference in Malta. So I'll do an episode at some point about what the PAC conference is. But Nikki was going and going to share some research that he'd been doing with another colleague about convergent thinking in design and technology. And we had a lovely conversation about his PhD, about what he'd been researching, about technology education in South Africa and some of the challenges they face around resources and equality of curriculum and how they approach technology education. And then the final interview, as I've already said, is with Paul Carney. And we kind of chat over some different aspects of technology education and his background in art. So those are those four interviews. I hope you enjoy them as much as I enjoyed doing the interviews. And they will be coming out every Tuesday. The first one is coming out on Tuesday, the 8th of July. That will be with Jennifer. And the next three will be coming out in the following three Tuesdays. So if you want to get those automatically, you'll need to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. And then the third series will be available later on in September. I hope you enjoy the podcast and thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Talking D&T podcast with me, Alison Hardy. You can connect with me on Twitter at Hardy_Alison. Show notes and transcripts for each podcast episode can be found on my website, alisonhardy.work. Thanks for listening.